goodies over here. Yeah, praise the Lord. Boy, there is a real sweet spirit here tonight, you know. And I was just back there praying, and as we were just getting into the spirit with this in worship, and the Lord dropped into my spirit just to share with you that whatever you need tonight, he's here to give that to you. Whatever it is, whatever. Everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
That's it, whatever. And that's not just a, you know, a cliche that kids say, like, whatever. No, it is whatever. Now grab a hold of that tonight, because the Lord's going to share some things with every one of us about some things that he wants to set us free of. How many of you know that we carry baggage with us? Whether we want to or not, it kind of, it's there, okay? And if Chris, if you want to put up the title of the message tonight, that'd be great, because I want this to sink in a little bit with everybody, okay? And this is called Redeeming Your Detours. Redeeming Your Detours. Anybody know what a detour is, right? Driving down a road, then there's a big sign that says detour. You got to make a left or a right. That kind of takes away some time where you're going to be going. Redeeming your detours. But before we get into the message tonight, I'm going to be sharing a couple stories as we get into the scripture. How many like Hebrew stories and stories in the scriptures? That's pretty good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And in these stories, if we have time, we go to what, 10:30? Okay. Okay, 10:15. Okay. We're going to go as far as we can. I'm going to try to cram everything in here, what the Lord showed me to share with everybody tonight. Okay? And am I too loud? Is it okay? All right. I have to take off my glasses. There we go. In redeeming your detours, God shared with me, we're going to be learning how to get back the time that we missed when we were out of God's will. Has anybody ever been out of God's will before? Okay, we're all in the same room, so we're all on the same page, we're in the same family of God, and I know everybody has missed God's will somewhere in their life. That doesn't mean we're going to hell. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we lost time because of a detour, okay? God has promised us that he is going to get back to us the time that we lost, okay? Anybody want to claim that tonight? I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like I said, I'll be sharing a couple biblical stories tonight, and these stories will relate to what we're talking about, and then you may want to bring those stories into your life on how it will relate to you on what God is sharing with you about how to get the time back that he's promised you. Okay? There's some things that I've done in my life that I just go, oh, I think that's God's will. From here, you know, I think that's God's will. You go do it, and it ends up to be a detour. And then you got to go back around and do whatever to get back where I was, and then you start plugging along again. Has that happened to anybody before? Okay. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 through 15. That's in the New King James. That's fine. You can follow there. And make sure everybody brings their Bibles, because it's good to write in your own Bible, right? Highlight. Do whatever you want in your Bible. Bring it. It's a good thing to do. I got to move this over here. Okay. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." How do you think we are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness? By talking to them, yelling at them, or just living right in front of them? When we live right, okay, that will expose it. Next verse, verse 12. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Have you ever read that before? Go to verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Talking about us. Doesn't the Bible say that we are the light of the world? So he's basically saying we're like a flashlight being shown right on that. It's going to be exposed, and they'll have an opportunity to get right. Now let's go to verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight that we can gather and be in your presence. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you're granting us with your presence tonight. I thank you, Father, that your sweet spirit is healing our bodies, enlightening our minds, and causing us to be more than conquerors through you. I thank you, Father. I'm asking you, Father, that this word that goes forth tonight will just go unhindered by any satanic force, and that it will be planted deep in our hearts so that we may draw upon it and give it to those who are in need. I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Redeeming your detours. I'm going to be reading a little bit here, and we're going to be referring to Ephesians chapter 5, too, as we go on, but there'll be a couple other verses we're going to get to. Redeeming your detours. A detour. The definition of a detour actually says it is a deviation from a direct course of action. In other words, it's doing something that we thought, talking about spiritually now, was God's will, but turned out to not be God's will. Okay? I'm not going to go into any specifics about things like that, but we kind of know what a detour is. Okay? Once we become born again, we are connected as one with God and become a part of God's covenant. I want everybody to say this with me. I am a part of God's covenant. Did you hear yourself? You're a part of God's covenant. Okay? All right. But we fail to realize that God's covenant actually has two parts. Did you know that? God's covenant has two parts. I'll give you the two parts. There's the promise side, and then there's the condition side. You hearing me? There's the promise side. God promises this because we're part of his covenant, but if we don't meet the condition for that promise, who gets the promise? Nobody. 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 See, because God's got promises everywhere. He's given promises out. But if we do not operate and walk in that condition, that promise lies dormant in our lives. Man. Don't tell me that, Larry. I just want to bank on God's promises. Yeah, that's okay. We can bank on them. But we need to meet the conditions for certain promises. He promises us salvation. But what are the things we have to do for salvation? We got to repent, right? We got to confess. We got to believe, and then we got to walk. Hey, these are conditions we have to do. Otherwise, the promise of salvation is dormant in our life. Do you think that happens with other things in our life? Yes, it does. So, since we are sheep who have gone astray, and we don't always make good decisions, and then we enter what is called a detour. Once we get born again, we're believing the promises of God. We try to walk in the conditions, but we goof, and then we want to get from point A to point B, but we're over in point F. How did that happen? A decision. Some detours are really not that bad. Just a little sidetrack is here or there. It's not too bad. Well, some detours are actually devastating, to say the least. We probably know people who have been on the right track, and then a year later, They're nowhere to be found. You know, God forbid, but they could be dead. They could be in a place where of no return. Who knows? But because of the detour that was made, whether it was by themselves, excuse me, or somebody pulling them, all of our detours, no matter the size, cause us to lose time with God. Time for what? Time for serving God, spending with our children, spending with our grandchildren, etc., etc., etc. We lose time. Some people say, well, we can't take anything with us when we go to heaven. Oh, no, I want to correct that statement. Hear me. In the Hebrew mindset, you take time with you. You take time. Because when you get to heaven, there is no time, but you take the time that you were here on this earth. And then the question is asked, what did you do with Jesus during that time? Say, amen or oh me. But this is it. This is what we take with us. Yeah. It's something, it's a sobering thought too. Okay? Praise God. Man, did you know that God wants to redeem the time? He wants to redeem that time so that we can go, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. My time is under the blood. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:11 through 16, we read that. God wants that lost time back. I want you to think about that statement. God wants that lost time back. God wants your lost time back to you. Okay? Think about it as we go on this service. Okay, that's going to make a lot more sense. He wants that time back. Wow. Redeem. The word redeem. We got the definition of it, and we know, most of us know that, in other words, that redeem actually means to buy back, right? That's in the in the dictionary. It also means to obtain the release of. Obtain the release of. And it also means to set free. That's the dictionary's definition of redeem, okay? In the Greek, the word redeem, the word is exegrazo. You don't have to spell that or anything, but it's exegrazo, which actually means to rescue from loss. To rescue from loss. And in the Hebrew word is padah, and it actually means to rescue. So when we read that in Ephesians chapter 5, talking about redeeming the time, God is actually telling us he's going to rescue the loss of time. He's going to rescue it, whether in Greek or Hebrew. I like participating in rescues. Okay? Does anybody know what lifeguards do? You know, like if somebody is drowning out there and they raise their hand, the lifeguard goes in there. Okay. But if that person is fighting and they're in the pool and they're fighting, they're afraid they're going to drown, they could actually hurt, kill, or destroy that person who's trying to rescue them, right? So what does that person do? Maybe he'll knock them out, and then they'll drag him to shore, and they are rescued. That's a violent rescue. But sometimes we may have to go through that kind of a rescue, especially about our time. My brother, my oldest brother, he's in the process, and I'm telling you this, he's in the process of going through a rescue of time. And I'll describe it to you. He backslid, and he has come back to the Lord. But those backsliding times that he's gone through keep attacking him. Things, decisions, detours that he has left his mark on has left their mark on him. So God is violently redeeming the times that he's gone through with his friends, relatives, co-workers. But you know what? God's getting the glory. God's getting the glory. God's getting the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God. Let's look at the process of a detour. First, I'm going to give you a little background before the story, which is found in Luke chapter 10. Excuse me. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 30 through 35. This is going to be story number one. But before we get to the verses, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background, okay? The story that we're going to be reading is the story of the Good Samaritan, okay? The background of the Good Samaritan really takes place when the Jews were released from the Babylonian captivity. When they were released, they were entering into two areas. It was the area of Samaria and the area of northern Israel, where Jerusalem is, okay? They were released there. At the time that they were being released, people, men particularly, and priests were marrying foreign women, okay? They were marrying foreign women. So you have a priest, and he marries a heathen, okay? Then that would cause a little problem, especially if they're going to minister into the temple, okay? One priest actually married Sanballat's daughter. Anybody know who Sanballat was? Back in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13 and 14, Sanballat, he was the thorn in the side of all the Israelis as they were building the walls of Jerusalem. He wanted to destroy them, by backbiting and talking, making it very difficult to build the walls for Ezra and Nehemiah to get the walls built, okay? The high priest's son married Sanballat's daughter. Sanballat was a Samaritan. And you have the high priest's son, who is next in line to be the high priest for the sacrifices for all of Israel. He marries a Samaritan. Nehemiah finds out what happens. And the word of the Lord came to Nehemiah and says, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. He makes a decree. Everybody know what the decree was? The decree was one, okay? You either separate, stay in the ministry, and be completely set apart, okay? Separate, period. Number two, you could stay married, but if you stay married, you must leave the ministry. You cannot partake. What do you think that did to the people? Get them pretty upset. I mean, they choose a bride and all this, and especially the high priest's son with the governor of Samaria, Sanballat. He marries his daughter, and he's next in line. The result, bitterness, jealousy, and hatred. This gives you a little background of everywhere where Jesus is talking and saying that don't go to Samaria. Why do the Samaritans hate the Jews, and why do the Jews hate the Samaritans? This is the background why. Okay, the Jews basically treated themselves, since they were not intermingling and marrying, okay, they felt purer. It's not a very good word. But then the Samaritans, they felt that, well, wait a minute. God can forgive, but, what did they do? Well, the story is basically back in, remember when Jesus went to the woman at the well? Okay. And everybody likes to, well, I'm not going to say everybody. A lot of ministers like to key on how Jesus knew that she had, five husbands and all this kind of stuff. That's not what he was talking about. Jesus was talking about, he asked her, and she said, we worship in Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And you Jews worship God over in Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, two separate places. And both of the high priests in Samaria and Jerusalem said, ours is the right one. No, ours is the right one. There was a big fight between the two. Okay? And Jesus said to her, doesn't matter. Those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter if you're on Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter, okay? This is what he's sharing with them. Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal today are in ruins. Jerusalem is not. Kind of gives you something to think about. I wonder why. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 10. I wanted to give you just a little bit of background because it's really important for us to see what's going on here. All right, in Luke chapter 10, we're going to start. Well, we could look at this one up here. Okay, now he was talking to a gentleman at the time, but we're going to really get to the meat of this of these scriptures. It says, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man, and if in your Bible, if you don't have that underlined or circled, do it. Anywhere in the scriptures where it says a certain man, did you know that he's actually saying, this is a true story. This really happened. This is what he's saying. And this really happened, okay? A certain man went where? Everybody follow me? He went down. He went down. In your Bible, I want you to circle it. And we need to really pay close attention to the specifics of these verses, okay? Because God is going to tell us something tonight on how we're going to be redeemed from our detours, okay? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. How many of you know that Jerusalem is 2,500 feet higher than the Dead Sea? Okay, it's up here. The Dead Sea is right here. Okay, but Jericho is 1,300 feet lower than even the Dead Sea. So, he's basically painting a picture saying that he was up in Jerusalem. He was in church. He was worshiping. He was doing what he needs to do, but he went down. He went down. Backslid. He did something. He went down. Okay? He went on a detour, okay, from Jerusalem to Jericho. What's up with Jericho? Jericho was one of the most carnal towns in the Holy Land area at the time. It was just, they had baths outside. You could pretty much do anything you wanted to do in the flesh at the time. You leave the heavenlies to fleshlies. This is where he was going, okay? A certain man going down and what? What did he do? And fell. He fell. He fell. Among who? He fell among thieves. Did these thieves actually say, hey, we're here to rob you? He did not know. But he fell. He was going down the path of destruction, and he fell. Okay, you catching this? What he's saying? He's talking spiritually now. He fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing. That is a picture of your covering. Okay, our covering. What is the covering for this church? Our church is our covering. Our pastor is our covering. Okay? This man was stripped of the covering that he had when he was in Jerusalem. Naked. Naked. Now I'm just going to say it. Spiritually naked. Okay? Wounded. Next. Him and departed, leaving him half dead. Why would Jesus say they left him half dead? In the Hebrew mindset, okay, the thing, you see me, right, in the flesh here, you see me, that's one half. The other half is in my spirit. It's inside. They didn't quite understand at the time that we are a spirit that has a soul and live in a body. They didn't understand that yet. Because the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen, okay? They only understood the flesh and something inside. They called it the belly, okay? So they left him half dead. They thought just his flesh was dead. He's dead, okay? But God said, no, 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 he's half dead, just his flesh. But you know what? There's a part of him that's alive, There's a part of you that's alive. Even though we've been on a detour, there's still a part of that that's alive. Go to the next verse, please. Now by chance. And I like what the Hebrew says. It says, and by coincidence, a certain priest, in other words, again, this is a real priest, came, and I want you to see the word again, came down that road. In other words, there you go. He fell too. He is living a form of godliness, but denying the power of God thereof. Yeah. Leading people astray by what he was teaching. Okay? The priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He says, well, he could hide his sin pretty good. In other words, that's basically what this is saying. That priest could hide. He could hide his sin where this person could not. Okay? The priest actually is a picture of organized religion. Go to the next verse, please. Likewise, a Levite, when he, catch this, when he arrived at the place, it doesn't say when he went down, it just says he just arrived. Okay? And we're going to find out why. Arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. Does anybody ever know a Bible thumper? Bible says this. You're not doing it. You're in sin. And they go do it to somebody else. It's exactly what he was. He was condemning him with the word or the Torah, because it says that he looked. In other words, he's just looking at the Torah, sees, oh, he's in sin. I'm going to pass by on the other side. Are you catching this so far? Okay, let's go to the next one. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he's journeying. How many have ever gone down a skid row on a journey to witness and to minister to somebody? Yeah. That's a journey. You're not going there to go down into sin and fall. You're journeying to minister. Okay? He is journeying to minister, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. Jesus ministered with compassion. Compassion heals. Compassion delivers. Okay? Let's go on. Next one. We're going to finish up here. Yeah. See, we still got 2 hours. So, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. This is a picture, okay, of the Samaritan. Oil is a picture of the anointing. Wine is a picture of the joy of the Lord. He gave this person who had fallen in sin, who was half dead, notice how he ministered to him with anointing and with the joy of the Lord. See, he bandaged his outside, but his inside he needed the anointing and the joy of the Lord. Okay? And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Praise God. And I think there should be another verse. Yeah, there should be one more. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, what? Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. Does that sound like the Holy Ghost to you? Yes. But that's a Samaritan. Half-breed. Do you think God could use a half-breed? I'm a half-breed. Praise God. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, he wants to rescue us from whatever and wherever we went down and fell. okay? It doesn't matter the detour that we've taken. He wants to rescue us and anoint us with his oil and give us the joy of the Lord. Okay? The joy of the Lord is, I'm telling you, this is it's powerful stuff. That's story number one. Story number two, real quick, we're going to talk about Samson. Everybody know about Samson? Remember him? Long hair, crazy guy, okay? Samson, it's found in Judges 14 through 16. We don't have to turn there because I just want to give that for reference. Every detour moves you out of your position with God. You can write that down if anybody's taking notes. Every detour moves you out of your position with God. The person who was up in Jerusalem, he went, took a detour. He was moved out of his position with God. He was moved out. Now, there's a lot, I should say, there's a much deeper story about the Good Samaritan, but we're just talking about that right now, on who the Samaritan was. We don't need to get into that, okay? Samson. I feel the Holy Ghost here, you guys. I mean, he's just going to really, hallelujah. Samson, as he was with his parents, really something to remember. There was three of them. It was Samson, his father, and his mother. Okay? There's three. And pretty much God's perfect number. Okay? They were on their way to a town called Gaza. And as Samson, his father, and his mother were going down to Gaza, okay? I'm going to paraphrase it here. Going down to Gaza, they walked to a vineyard. And in the middle of a vineyard was a young lion that roared. Okay, they were going down to Gaza, and they pass a vineyard, and in there was a young lion that roared. Okay, I'm going to teach a little bit here. Anybody know what a Nazirite vow is? Okay, a Nazirite vow. There are three parts to a Nazirite vow, which was Samson's covenant with his God. Number one, the Nazirite vow could not drink strong drink. Okay, could not drink strong drink. And if you were to study it even closer, he could not even eat raisins. Okay, because it's a part of the fruit of the vine, and it some types of raisins that they dry differently, they could still have alcohol content. Okay, that was number one. That was the first vow. Second vow was he could not touch any dead carcass. No dead carcass. The third was he could not what? Cut his hair. Does anybody know how a Nazirite basically combed or had their hair? It was in seven locks. Or seven ponytails. That's how they could tell if they were a Nazirite. Seven different actual big ponytails. Okay? Seven locks. Why seven? Why not 14? Or 11? Okay? Something to think about there. All right? When they walked to the vineyard and with the young lion who roared, how many of you know that when a lion roars, he is ready to attack? He's not roaring just to say, check out my voice. It's not what he's doing. He's ready to attack, all right? The vineyard is a type and shadow in Hebrew, okay, of a church. A place where you can receive nourishment, comfort, and a covering. And there is a young lion in there who is ready to attack. Has anybody ever been hurt before from somebody who was malicious in a church? God wants to set us free from that too. This is the picture he's talking about here. He's saying they went through, they heard the lion, and then they went around. Okay, we're going to get to this a little bit closer. We're almost done. Okay. How many of you know that Samson got drunk? Samson went to a Philistine party. He got drunk, and he told riddles. Had people to guess the riddle, guess the answer. And if they couldn't, then things would take place. Bad things, okay? How many of you know that he touched a dead carcass? There's a message, and it's a wonderful message, but he touched the jawbone of a donkey, and he killed 1,000 people with it. But that was a dead carcass. He also killed a lion, that young lion, and then a couple of days later, there was a beehive inside it, and he touched the carcass to get out the honey and give to people. Two things he did that were against the Nazirite vow, but God still had grace to bless him with his strength. I mean, he would take 300 foxes, tie their tails together, and put them on fire. I can't even catch one fox. He'd do 300, okay? And he can lift a gate off and then kill, you know, like another, 3,000 of the Philistines with a gate. But God still anointed him, even though he broke two. He went down two detours. But on the way to Gaza, he got slain by a fox. And her name was Delilah. When he broke the third vow, Samson said, even though he knew his hair was cut, he says, and you can go back and read it, doesn't matter. I'll go back and do as I did before. And when he saw that his strength was gone, he knew he was doomed. He knew. Well, wait a minute. But God in his ultimate grace could have blessed him even though. Remember, there's two parts of the covenant. Condition and promise. He promised him that, oh, he'll have the strength. But here is your condition. I'll still bless you if you break one. I'll still bless you if you break two. But if you break the third, my promise has got to come off of you. That's happened to us all when we go down detours. It's happened to us all. But God in his grace and mercy says, I'm here for you. Amen. The blood will cover you. It will cover you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Praise God. Did you know there's actually four paths of roads in life? The first path is your own road. And it's prepared by yourself. The second is God's road, and it's prepared by God himself. The third is the road prepared by others, such as your family, a career. Doesn't matter. That's a road. And the fourth road is prepared by the adversary, prepared by the devil himself. Well, what are we to do, Larry? I'm born again now, and there's four roads out there for me to choose. There's four roads for me to choose. What do I do? How do I choose these roads? What path is God on? What path is God on? Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, we're going to jump in with verse 24 through 26. Hallelujah. We're going to answer that question as the Holy Spirit begins to really start to minister. You guys getting something out of this? Is that okay? We're doing okay? Praise Jesus. You see, when the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, because the word good in Hebrew actually means functional. And when Jesus was preaching to a predominantly Jewish crowd, when he said, I'm going to teach about the good Samaritan, most of those people just go, really? There's no functional Samaritan around here as far as they're concerned. Because don't forget, even the disciples said, let's call down fire from heaven against those Samaritans. It's like, what? It's pretty serious, okay? You see, the Samaritan helped that person. He ministered to that person. God just doesn't want to help us, but he wants to rescue and restore us. from all detours that we've taken. Joel chapter 2, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new what? New wine. And what is wine again? We found that out. The joy of the Lord, okay? And oil, anointing, okay? Next verse, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. So I will what? Restore to you the what? The years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you. Oh, man. We're going to stop right there. Oh, this is a promise. This is a promise. But do you think there's conditions to this promise? Yes, there is. The Hebrew word for restore in this verse is the word shalom, S-H-A-L-A-A-M. And that word actually means to make amends, to make complete restitution. Complete restitution. To make an end of everything that we have gone through. All those detours that we have lost so much time in, he is going to restore and make amends. He's going to make amends. It's not us. We don't have to do that. We don't have to hunt somebody down that we found in high school and repent to them. We don't have to do that. God's going to do it for us. He'll do it for us. Here's the process of restoration. Samson asked God when he knew that he had blown it, when he was between the pillars, what did Samson say? God, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. What is he talking about? Remember me. He knows he's there. But don't forget, his hair grew longer. He abstained from strong drink. And he didn't touch a dead carcass during those years. And he said, remember me. And the word remember in Aramaic is the opposite of dismember. So he's saying, put me back together. Not just physically, it's spiritually too. And it's the same thing that happened to the Good Samaritan who was half dead. He's remembered, so he's being put back together by the anointing and the joy of the Lord. And then Samson regained his strength, and you know the rest of the story, okay? This is what we need to do as born-again believers. If we want to receive that time back, we just say, Heavenly Father, remember me. You promised me. You promised me. You're going to restore to me. You're going to restore to me. He will restore to you all the years. All the years. He's restoring to me all the years that the devil tried to rip off of me. He's restoring that. Oh. The hurts that are represented here, the Lord is saying right now, everybody just focus on God. The Lord is saying all these hurts are covered under the blood. But I want to tell you, these hurts are now, you are free from. The restoration is taking place and it's going to grow more and more day by day, day by day, and day by day. Walk in the restoration that I have called you to because you have been made a beacon upon a hill. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The Lord's going to open up the altars in 1 second. Just focus on him. There's five things, five steps that actually God is wanting us to do as a people. Number one, we're to recognize that we have missed it. That's okay. That's what being, you know, repenting is all about. We recognize. Number two is we repent of anything specific that we may know that has called us or caused us, should say, to be on a detour. And then we return to our first love. We return to our first love. Get hungry for his presence. Get hungry for the Holy Ghost. Get hungry for the oil of God, for the wine, the joy of the Lord. Get hungry for that. Crave it in your household. Hallelujah. Then reunite to and with godly people who love you and who have a vision of God. And the fifth is to revive. God's saying to revive any dead vision that you have in your heart. If you have felt that you needed to go on a missions trip and you haven't, okay, revive that. Go on a missions trip next year. Do you see what God's saying and how he wants to get us free from this? He's called us to do certain things. And because we've been bogged down by the detours, and he keeps saying, you're redeemed from that. I paid that price. Walk in your freedom. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hurts that have been represented here, yes, the Lord told us they're already under the blood. Hallelujah. We're free from that. But the altars are open. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, before, if you make a decision tonight to say, Heavenly Father, I'm going to go forward because in my seat, I'm leaving all the detours that I've taken in the past. And I'm walking to the altar free, redeemed, and restored. So I'm asking you to remember me. So if anybody wants to do that, the altars are open right now. Leave your detours at your seat and come on up to the front, and the Lord, he'll meet you right here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Josh, come on up here. Hallelujah. Shema, mama, mama.